Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Hope you're doing all right on Altar Live. It's an amazing platform, and moving forward, this is going to be the place that we'll be in. And it'll just give us a great sense of being together, in the room together, even continuing when we come back face-to-face on the 31st, so that we've got just a great sense of what's happening. Let's pray for a moment, hey, before we come around the word. Lord Jesus, right now, take us deep this morning. Take us way into your word. Give us your foundation. Give us that from the beginning. Holy Spirit, help us to abide with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, the message I'm going to bring this morning is not just a normal message. This is something that God has been showing me for 9 months. It's not just a message that's a good thing to know. It's not just something that is handy or, you know, throw it there for a nice idea. I tell you, this is something that has actually transformed so much of me in these last 9 months. Now, I've worked with Christ for a long time, you know, 20 years or something. But you know, I've come to a point in my life where I want more. I want to keep going, but I want to do it really well and really healthily. And as I've explored this passage over these last 9 months, it has transformed so much about my outlook on life, about the way I live my life, my hope and my heart. I tell you, there is so much in here. I've written it all down in this book, and I'm trying to condense this book into 20 minutes. So wish me luck. But even if you can just get the taste of this, just the beginning of it, I tell you, it will transform your life. I guarantee it. So let's dive right into this incredible passage. I mean, this week's reading is incredible. Right from John 14 to John 17, these are some of the richest texts in the whole Bible. You could just spend days reading these things, meditating on them, and just enjoying them, but I'm going to dive right into the middle of that in John 15, verse 1. I'll read the passage, verse 1 to 11. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Jesus is talking about a vineyard, a grapevine that's growing on a trellis. That's the imagery. Very familiar for these people. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What a passage. 11 verses of richness of Jesus' heart. See the context, Jesus is just about to die and he's speaking his heart to his close friends. He's giving his close friends the final message. This is among his final bits of advice. This is the core of what he wants his people to carry on. And it's this word, abide. Now, we don't often use that word today, you know. How is your day? Oh, I was abiding well. Thank you very much. You know, it's not a common word in today's word, but it's a beautiful word. And the original Greek is meno, and it means to remain. It remains an unbroken fellowship. It means a constant state of communion. That is that we continually remain constantly in fellowship with Christ always. It's that idea of walking with a friend who's always there. Somebody who's always with you. Somebody who'll never leave you. But that we connect in with all the time. That's that word. It is to dwell, to be in. Not just next to, but in. It's such a rich word. And John uses this word 14 times in this little passage in the 14 to 17. Let me share you part of my journey this year of how this word has become so important, so rich. I wind back to 2020, COVID won, you know, and I was in a very adrenaline-fueled state. I'd spent 5 years, some very big projects, lots of things going on in my world, and then COVID and the church, you know, there's all kinds of things to spin up, lots of things to try and get a handle on. How do we do this? What happens? My other work life was going crazy too. And so like so many people, COVID Mark 1 was a very anxious, chaotic, stressful time. But in the middle of this, I emerged going, there's got to be another way to live life. Like I've spent the last 20 years living on adrenaline. I spent so long living on borrowed time, fueling my world with adrenaline. Of I can do this. I can bite off more than I can chew. I can do that. I can do that. And so you become, you know, young men, capable, committed, above and beyond whatever you can do. But so often, the impact on the people around you is negative because you're living like this, from the next coffee to the next adrenaline to the next high, which is, adrenaline is like a drug. It's an addiction. And we when we're fueled with adrenaline, we want more. We want more. So we want the next high. We want the next impossible task. And we want to go from place to place to place, but we can't stop. Ever been there? What's next, you know? And pity the poor people around you. Because you sit down at the end of the day and you go, that's not abiding. That's adrenaline. In fact, abiding is opposed to adrenaline. We need adrenaline occasionally, but it's just designed for the occasion. You know, when there's a dangerous situation, fight or flight. That's what adrenaline's for. It's not to live on as the drug that fuels our life. But so many people in our world live on adrenaline and not an abiding. And it transforms your world if you can wind yourself off adrenaline and wind yourself into abiding. And this whole year, here's a few little snippets from the diary. You should write a diary. You should write the thoughts down because you look back over the year and you go, my goodness, that's incredible. Did I write that? March 11, listen to this. In this year of recalibration, I'm finding more and more peace, rest, joy, and simplicity as I recover his presence in my life. 19th of March, I'm feeling so rested inside instead of restlessness or fear or insecurity. 15th of June, Jesus has done wonderful things for my soul this year. Every morning I'm awake with Jesus. New dreams and visions for others. Life inside and clarity, he is restoring my soul. 16th of July. Despite my anxiety, this is kind of COVID 2 season, right? Despite my anxiety, despite COVID, despite extreme challenges at church and work, extreme self-doubt, God will fulfill his purpose for me. 6th of September. I feel as if I've arrived somewhere in prayer today. I had to fight for peace and rest in my soul, for the enemy was accusing me. But in silencing the voice of accusation, there is rest, even joy. You know, I set this year out to be different, to recalibrate, to find something fresh and new that would sustain me. Not just short-term fix, but how do I sustain this run for the next 20 years? How do I do this well for my family, for my church family, for God himself? I tell you, it has changed me. Abiding, learning some keys that I'm going to share with you in a moment. It has really transformed me. So I want to take you through just a little journey and what that is to abide. You see, the fruit of abiding. Jesus talks about fruit. He's talking to a community of people who are growing grapes for wine, not table grapes. It's like Shiraz. It's the finest wine. And the farmer, the vineyard, the viticulturist comes and he's inspecting, looking at his vine. And he's looking for the fruit. You see, there's three things that abiding brings to you. The first one is fruit. When you abide, when you connect yourself to Jesus, the vine, you will bear fruit. Verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. It's like he is the source. He has the roots. He's tapped into God. All we've got to do is tap into Jesus. And then the sap will flow. The nourishment will flow. All that Jesus has receiving from God, if we just connect to his life stream, that will flow through us and we bear the grapes. That's how it works. But if we disconnect from Jesus and we try to do things on our own, we might have a little bit of fruit for a bit, but it's going to go south pretty quickly. Unless we're constantly connected, a branch does not last long. Unless it's connected to the vine. Fruit. But I've learned the difference between fruit and success. Our world talks about success. The Bible talks about fruit. See, fruit is useful. It's purposeful. It's fulfilling. It's what you're meant to produce. It's not instant. It's not always quick. It takes time to grow. But it's ultimately so lovely. Success is around influence and fame and success. You know, this is empty and soul-destroying. If you pursue success, you end up being shriveled up because success cannot sustain you. You'll go from one success to the next without something inside in your soul actually being fulfilled. So don't confuse fruit with success. The second thing that abiding brings you is the ability to ask. I love this. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. See, if you're connected with Jesus, if you're living in him and with him, then ask whatever you wish because you will be asking the things that Jesus loves. You'll be so connected to him that your will becomes his will. And so the things that you ask God of are the things that already are good things. You're going to be asking for health and life around the people around you. You'll be praying for people's souls. You'll be living well, asking for great things. It is the key to success, but you still need to ask. You see, we've got to be dependent on God. That's what prayer is. We're asking, of course God knows our needs, but he wants us to know that we're dependent on him. because that produces humility and dependence. James says, James 4 verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Ask. Ask him. Stay connected and ask. That dependence will produce incredible fruit. You'll start to see it flourishing, but you have to ask. And the third thing that abiding brings from this passage is joy. Right down at verse 11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Can you see all the in words? That my joy, Jesus says, my joy will be in you. You'll actually have the joy of Jesus on the inside of you. You don't need to manufacture your own. You have a deep joy. Joy is kind of happiness, unconditional circumstance. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. It doesn't matter how you feel. You have joy. It doesn't matter what sort of car you drive, house you live in, work you have or don't have, or your family or not. You have joy on the inside of you because his joy. See, abiding, according to this passage, brings those three things. It brings great fruit. It brings the ability to ask. And it brings deep, deep joy. It's so different from the way our world is wired, isn't it? See, our world says, go it alone, son, you can do it. You be independent. You be strong. You be courageous. You know, you don't need anybody. We're the self-made people, aren't we, in the West? You don't need God. You don't need to depend on anything. You've got enough in yourself. You're so gifted. See, the problem with that thinking is we get to the end of our life and we're completely alone. If we don't have Christ on the inside, if we're not living and walking with Christ, it's like there's agony on the inside because we've disconnected from the very one who created us. This is very different thinking. So I want to show you four things, on how. If you want this, like I wanted it at the start of the year, I'm going to tell you four things, four really practical things that you can put into place so that you stay connected to the vine, that you're in Christ and will sustain you. All right, here's the first one. Know that you're loved. Think, what? How does that work? You have to know that you're loved by the creator of the universe. I mean, really, no. Just take a quick poll inside for a second. 1 to 10, how does God view you? Oh, I didn't pray this morning. Oh, I haven't read my Bible. Oh, and then I said that the other day. Oh, so many of us walk around like this in front of God. But you are loved by the creator of the universe. You're loved before the foundation of the world. You're not some cosmic accident. You're not some mistake. You're not just here by chance. You are purposefully created. If you get that thought on the inside of you, it gives you meaning and value and purpose no matter what. You have to have that in your DNA. We love because he first loved us. You see, we got to get that on the inside. It's not to be arrogant and I'm loved. No. It's just a deep and abiding and fruitful kind of love, a deep, deep knowledge. If your view of how God views you is really negative, why would God love me? You gotta be transformed. You gotta start to let his love. Primarily, he loves you. Above all else, he loves you. Get that in, soak it in. Read the scriptures that talk about that. Find yourself in his presence, filled with the love of God. It's going to give you way more than some empty self-esteem movement, some self-help movement. No. Loved. As the Father, look at this. You see, if I go back, just John 14, verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. See, Jesus was so confident that his Father loved him. As the same way, so he's loved us. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he cares for you. Believe that he has your best in mind. Believe that your ultimate destiny is wrapped up in unified love. If you fast forward a few chapters, look it up later, John 17, 20. It talks about how you are wrapped up into the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's your ultimate destiny. You're not to be alone. You're to be brought into the life of God. That's where we're heading, people. It's a life of complete love. You're so significant to Jesus that he's going to bring you into the fellowship of the Trinity. Huh. Wild. This part of the Bible is wild. Grab hold of how he loves you. Second thing of how to abide. It's pretty simple in verse 10. It says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Simply, just do what he says. It's really simple. If you find yourself doing stuff that you know that he doesn't want you to do, then just stop. It's really simple. And don't second guess yourself. There's stuff in your world that you know shouldn't be there. Just get rid of it. And you'll find yourself so quickly caught up in the love of God. You find yourself connected because it just doesn't work if you completely give yourself to the things that God doesn't want you to do. And it just cuts across the relationship. Jesus modeled this life. I just do what the Father tells me to do. That was so simple for him. Go there, do this, love that person, raise the person from the dead, do this, go to this place. And that's why he spent so much time in prayer, tuning in to the voice of his Father and then just following. How simple. Just do what God tells you to do. That's the second one. So the first one, know, deep knowledge of his love for you. Second, just follow his instructions. Third one, I love this. This has been my journey this year. It's the art of remaining in Christ. Sounds weird. Let me read you a bunch of scriptures, right? And I reckon you'll get it. Here we go. Psalm 1 verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 105, verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength and his presence continually. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer supplication. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll tell you great and mighty things that you have not known. Hebrews 13:15, through him let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. So many scriptures, the greats in the scriptures had a constant state of prayer going on. Pray continually. One of the easiest verses in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Be in a constant state of prayer. So what does that mean? You mean I walk around reciting the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven. Oh, I ran into something there. You mean that when I'm working, I just got to stop doing what I'm working all the time and just meditate on the Lord? What are you doing there? Oh, I'm meditating. No, you should be at work. What does it mean when I'm sleeping? I got to wake up every hour and pray. What does it mean when I'm trying to eat dinner? I've got to, let's bless this dinner again, you know, dessert, let's pray again. You know, it's just a really, really simple check-in with Jesus. Whenever you think about it, I get completely absorbed in my work. I love everything I do. I just go for it. And then an hour later, I go, oh, that's right. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's like whenever you come up for air, whenever you surface, what's the undergirding thought? What's spinning in your soul? Thank you, Jesus. I preached this a long time ago, you know, using hands, just assigning different digits to different prayers, and that kind of helps me sometimes. Thank you, you know, help me. Please bless that person. Forgive me. That was a good one. I use that a lot. but that continual communication with Jesus all the day, whenever you think about it. When you go to bed, you roll over, thank you, Jesus. God, just connect with him. Experience his friendship again. When you wake up in the morning, yes, it's a new day. Yeah, I've got to get out of bed. Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, all that. But thank you, Jesus. When you hop in the car, when you go to pick up your phone, just every single moment, practice the presence of God. Great book, by the way. That's what it is to abide. Just practice walking with him. It'll change your world. And the last one, go with the pruning. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Ouch. Did you hear that? It's like the viner, the gardener comes along and that branch is dead. Off. That branch. Are you ready to be pruned? Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Huh? And it might bear more fruit. So even the ones that are bearing fruit, he still prunes them. What? Don't touch that, Jesus. That's good. No, I'm going to prune it so that it comes back more. That's contrary to our thinking, isn't it? Last month or so, Ro and I have spent a lot of time in the garden. Me somewhat reluctantly, Ro loves it. I love my wife, so I love the garden. But you know what we've been doing? You know what I have loved doing is pruning. We've had a whole lot of drought, right? A lot of trees have died in our garden, a lot of branches. And we kind of look at them and go, I just hope that branch comes back to life. I hope that tree lives again. What ridiculous thinking. We've been thinking this thing for a number of years about a certain tree. It's not going to happen. It's dead. So one of the funnest, greatest things I was got the chainsaw out. I went on a hunt for all the dead branches and all the dead trees. And guess what I did? I chopped them down. And you know what? For a little bit, it goes, oh, that dead stump was quite beautiful. Because at least it was something, you know. Because it takes ages to grow a tree, okay? But you know the best thing is just get rid of it. Chop it down. There goes the big crab apple. There goes that huge branch. There goes the silver birch at the front gate. Gone, gone, gone. There goes the middle of that tree that was completely dead. Dug them up. Do you know what I did? I planted new ones, new trees. I reckon I've planted about 20 trees lately. It's going to take some time, but these trees will bear fruit. Yeah, they will grow. I'll water them. I'll look after them. It's an investment. That's how Jesus does it with us. We've got to let him in. There's things that we hold on to. What is it that God wants? There might even be people, relationships. There might be habits or addictions. There might be part of your work life. There might be your aspirations. Jesus goes, hang on. I'm going to cut. You don't need that. It's dead. Move on. Plant something new. Are you ready to go with the pruning? It will help you abide. It will help you bear fruit if you go with it. Those four things. Steve, can I get you to come up and join me? Those four things. So important. You got to know that you're loved. You got to do what he says. You got to learn to remain in him, be in a continual state of prayer. And you got to learn, when Jesus comes along with his pruners, just go with it. He loves you. He's only going to take away the things that have died off or that you don't need. It will transform your life. It will shift you from being an adrenaline-fueled person to someone of real, abiding, deep joy. Somebody's got their life back. Somebody who's been given a second chance. That's been my year. And it's John 15 that's really helped me cement that in. But let me share just one more thing with you. It It's your connection with Jesus that does it. And you might be here this morning and have never experienced a real connection with Jesus. Jesus talks about being in us. That's what a Christian means. When you invite Christ into your life, it means that he comes and lives in you. And he brings all that he has, all his love, all his power, all his freedom, all his joy. He brings that inside of us. And we get to experience that. It's not about trying to follow something. It's not about trying to do all the rules. That'll just end in pain. I've tried that. I've just tried to be a good person. You need to invite Jesus into your life. If you're watching this morning, you need that. If you've never experienced the joy of Christ in you, you need it. I'm going to pray right now. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want you in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry for trying to live my life on my own. And Lord, can I have everything that you've got? I want to live for you now, forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that kind of prayer, Jesus will come in. He will start to clean things up. He'll sort things out. He'll start to transform your world. He'll start to give you new vision, new direction. He'll start to give you your life back, not an adrenaline-fueled rush of life, but in a deep, abiding joy. My second question is for you. Have you lost that deep, abiding life with Jesus? Or have you never really had it? I want you to commit this morning to finding his presence daily. I want you to commit to abiding. I want you to try every moment calling in Jesus. The greatest prayer in the world is simply Jesus. When you don't know what to pray, Jesus. It can be Jesus, help. It can be Jesus, wow, that's awesome. It can be Jesus, I don't know what to do right now. It can be Jesus, I'm all confused. That one word, Jesus, leads to so many prayers. But what it does is it invites the creator of the universe into your prayer so that you're calling in him for every situation, every thought, every moment. It's going to transform the way you live. So right now, I'm going to pray a prayer and ask you to respond. Jesus, be committed to just abiding in him by just calling on him whenever you think about it. Try it. Jesus, I pray for each person as they say, yes, I want to try that. I want to just say, Jesus, as many times a day as I can, as people invite you into their world, as many times a day as they can, I'm praying you help them. I'm praying that you flood them with love, with fruit, and with joy. And I pray that you just give them a great, deep, abiding love. Amen. We'd love to connect with you. If you want to chat through anything here, if you need help with books or just how to do this well, get in touch. info@c3churchbathurst.org is the best way. Shoot an email. We'll get to Rowan myself and we'll help you. We want to help you walk this journey through. That's what we're here for. So bother us. Email us, phone me, text me, do something. But we'd just love to help you on this journey because it'll transform your life. Amen. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.